Prabhupada Sattara Sattara Sri Mad, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Shri Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai. Mathura Dhamma Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dhamma Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dhamma Ki Jai. Gangamaya Jumuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nivasesus and Nivani Paskatyade Satarne. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Padijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha. Panchakapa Tribhishchaki Pasandabhyabhata Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's January 30th, 2023, with the VIHE, reading Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 42 to 63. So we will go over your mission accomplished with the six items of surrender. So I'd like to hear from every single person, please, either in the chat or raising your hand. So how did you do with your mission of focusing on any one or more of the six items of surrender? If you don't volunteer, I will call on you. Sham Kishore Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Sandar Prana. So thank you for this very wonderful exercise. Made us, really think deep. And then in my case, I think when we look at the surrender, anukulena sankalpaha katikulaste varjanam, I think it is easier to do the do's and then the don'ts follow. So one of the do's which I somehow was not doing very well, basically function of my work lifestyle and things like that.
You don't have to be specific as to what it is. That's fine.
Yeah. So my chanting, for whatever reasons, I've developed quite a few bad habits while chanting, and mainly because of some of the work reasons, where I somehow end up picking up and replying to a message or things like that because I work across time zones.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tried to do for myself was try to make sure that I do 16 high quality rounds. And what I did for myself in a very practical way was that I broke my rounds into blocks of 4 rounds each.
Oh.
And what I did then was that during those 4 rounds, I told myself that for the next half an hour, I have nothing else to do but only to chant. And for that half an hour, I won't attend to anything, even if work-related things or something came. And then after the half an hour, I would check if there's anything of my work, and then again start up for the next half an hour. Because for me, taking all the 2 hours and not,
that was not possible. Well, Prabhupada said when he was a grihastha, he did that. He broke his chanting up into 4 rounds, 4 rounds. And also what you did there was a very good demonstration of dealing with the mind. So that's a double mission accomplished, but I only have one piece of music here for you today. and I thought it was very appropriate to have something about Hariputta. Okay, you missed the class. I did not manage to... Well, you know, if you miss a class, I just got a message like this. You're supposed to listen to the recording. That is the idea. All right, next person. What's your mission accomplished?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Stuti Priya here.
Hare Krishna, Stuti Priya.
Yes, Mataji. Yesterday I was offering bhoga to the Lord. And while I was offering, because I had heard in a class day before that, you know, it should be, when you cook, it should be for the Lord. But every time I cook, it is like for the family members and all that. So when I was offering, I was just asking him, when will that day come that I will offer for you? I will cook for you. And when will that day come then, you know, it will be only for you. You know, I was just thinking like that. And then I thought, no, I have been told, let these feelings and thoughts come and go. And actually it went and I realized that I also heard that I have to live in present. So I started, telling my Lord that, please accept it today. Please accept it now.
Wow.
And, you know, I felt so light and I actually felt enlightened.
Wow. Now I wish I had something bigger. Let's see if I can find a bigger something to play for you.
Thank you for all your enlightening classes.
Yes, let's see. We'll give you a bigger one. That's wonderful. That's actually, all of us as teachers, we should aim to have each of our students actually have transformative experiences in our classes and as a result of our classes. And you learn something very important about being present. And when you said you let the thoughts and feelings go, I thought, no, not those thoughts and feelings. But then I realized that those were lamentations and self-depreciation feelings, weren't they? They were tamagun feelings disguised as bhakti. And so you were actually very wise to let them go. You recognized what they were and you let them go. And then you actually surrendered to Krishna in the present. And what a wise, wise, wise thing to do. How wonderful that when we can meditate on Sanat Kumara talking to Prithu Maharaj, we can relate that to our own experiences. That Sanat Kumara and Prithu Maharaj aren't just some theoretical persons. Thank you. All right, next person with your mission accomplished, please. If you don't volunteer, I will call on you. Yes, Ambika.
Okay, thank you. So I wanted to express this point, which has been bothering me also quite a lot. So if we need to accept the favorable, of course, that's fine, and then reject the unfavorable and leave the association of non-devotees. So, because I cannot just stay at home alone all the time, I have to go out and I have to deal with people at least a little bit so that, you know, I get some reciprocation. Otherwise, I'm here in, you know, in a box, and what is the point? I don't see any point in that either. So I have been thinking of this, that they are all non-devotees usually everywhere outside. And somehow or other, I have to be able to associate with them, or otherwise, I don't know, isolation or something. So I have actually come to a conclusion after discussions also that I can always give them prasadam. And of course, I can always cultivate those good qualities that are in Bhagavad Gita and remember those teachings. And in that way, at least it's a little better that maybe I don't take so much influences from them but they take more from me, hopefully.
No, I think that is definitely giving up what's unfavorable. Instead of association with materialists, you gave them association with Krishna. Excellent. By the way, this music, he's singing Haripada. Okay, next person. If you don't volunteer, I will call on you. Nilamani Prabhu, what's your mission accomplished?
Sorry, Mataji. Trouble unmuting myself here. Yeah.
No problem.
Okay. I'm trying to articulate this a little bit. Certainly, I've been thinking a lot about this whole area of surrender. It just so happens this yesterday we drove from New Jersey to Richmond to spend some time with a really old friend, young couple, and they're maybe in their 30s, they have two young kids. And the husband had a very, very, very severe brain stroke, you know, a few days ago. And obviously the wife is totally distraught, and with the two young kids, she's feeling totally helpless and doesn't know why this happened or what to do about it or how she's ever going to manage and all of these kind of things. And I was just reflecting on these items of surrender and how difficult it is to be actually have faith, akshashyati vishwasho, that only the Lord can help us. He's our only protector and our only maintainer, right? How to really develop those qualities. And sometimes the Lord is putting people in such positions that they have to face that. They have to face that as a reality and somehow just try to rebuild their lives around that, and it's certainly very, very difficult, and I'm having a real hard time trying to get that concept across. And obviously, you know, it's very, very necessary, but you know, I came to the conclusion that you have to, in these kinds of situations, you know, you have to hope for the best, pray for the best, you know, plead to Krishna to make things right, but you have to somehow prepare for the worst. And assume that the Lord's plan is something we can't understand. He knows what He's doing, and somehow we have to just align ourselves with that. So
very nice.
Having faith
very
that
nice.
Only the yes. Lord is our protector.
That the Lord He's maintaining us and protecting us even when it seems that we're not being maintained and we're not being protected. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that beautiful meditation. Advaita Krishna Prabhu.
Hey Krishna, Madhuji. For me it's been one of the most important thing I've had to adjust to is not theoretically, but factually depend on the Lord, that He will maintain me and He will make everything go all right. Because, I mean, don't want to get into the details, but for the last 40 years, I've had a very comfortable life. Never had to worry about how much money I get and how much I spend. I never did any budgeting. I lived comfortable. But for the last 2 years, it's been a different situation. And on top of that, there has been some real challenges, but I have been learning. And every time there is some issues where I feel like, okay, things are just going to get okay, it's going to get better, and then they don't. So I'm learning to actually, factually depend on Krishna and not be bothered about any of it at all. And it's been a very rewarding experience.
and it's been something that Mother Prashanta once said, there's two types of people, those who worry about money and income, and those who just depend on Krishna. And that was in relationship of those who given their life to Krishna consciousness. Even though I spend most of my time in Krishna consciousness, but I had income, independent income. But now I have to be that category of devotee who don't have to worry about money, just depend on Krishna. So it's a very interesting change. And so really, Gaptirte Varana Tatha Atma Nikshapa Karmadnya, you know, just being humble and dependent on Krishna, he surely is going to protect me, he surely is looking after me. It's been a daily battle, but daily meditation, and it's very rewarding, very, very, very blissful sometimes, and very makes me full of gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, to the devotees, and to Krishna. It's a weekly, daily thing for me.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a really, of course, even when you, even in all those years when you didn't have to worry about income and outgo and budgeting, actually Krishna was still maintaining and providing for you.
Yes.
Yes. And,
yes.
And, yeah. But now you're more aware of it. Now it's
in front of
your face, and you've really embraced it, and in embracing it, you found that there's joy.
Yeah, and I feel like even if it takes away whatever is there, I don't worry about it.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. Adirupa Malati, how'd your mission accomplished go?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Actually, Mataji, I am dedicated for reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting. But today I want to complete my mission. So I was thought, what should I do? So I was trying to see my individual soul free from five coverings. Just as earth, water, fire, air and the sky, or material, ignorance, ego, ego and enviousness and absorption in material consciousness. So I want to be free from all these material desires and material activities, but material desires. So I thought, I am free from material coverings. But then I thought, who am I? How am I looking? I should focus on what form? Then I thought, because I'm going to Golok Dham, so I should be like Radha and Krishna only. Because once I went to Badrinath, I saw two Dwarpal, which are standing on the gate of Badrinath Dham. So I thought, because they are similar to Vishnu, so I thought I am also similar to them. So I saw myself in gopi dress.
Sounds like you were working on the one of having no separate interest besides the interest of the Lord. Was that the item of surrender you were working on?
Yes, I want to.
Or were you working on accepting what's favorable, or were you working on having no separate interest?
Now I have no separate interest, Mataji. I have achieved in my life what I could achieve. Now I have no desire.
Very good.
So
that's very good.
I am free from all responsibility, and I want to focus only on Krishna.
Okay, so it seemed like you were working on the item of surrender, of not having any separate interests. Thank you. Yes, Mahalakshmi.
Well, so yesterday when I was looking at this, of course, I didn't write down the six types of surrender. And then I look at the web and I wrote them, and it's not exactly as you mentioned, but it's the same. Are the same concepts.
Well, one of them is often one of them is there's one of them that has a variety of ways of translating it.
Yeah, so this is what happened. But I was looking at those, and I was the last four, having faith that Krishna will protect me, that he is my maintainer, surrendering oneself, and humility. I thought, well, these are sadly the same, because one without the others is, they come together. And I was not paying so much attention to the first two, because we already follow regulative principles and chant Hare Krishna, favorable, unfavorable. But then I felt that there is so much of the unfavorable that I still need to work on.
But I'll tell you, they're not all the same. Like Nanda and Yasoda, they don't think that Krishna is their maintainer and their protector, but they have no separate interest and they're humble. So they're not all the same. But anyway, go on.
Okay, so although I am working in what called me my attention at the beginning, I also realized that I need to work on the unfavorable, avoiding the unfavorable. To go deeper and to move better levels of understanding Krishna consciousness. How you were saying before that Krishna consciousness is not only the external act, but helps one to move to higher levels of Krishna consciousness instead of being so automatic.
Very nice. I really like this, Mahalakshmi, because what you're demonstrating here, you first thought, well, I'm already accepting the favorable and rejecting the unfavorable. I don't need to do that. I just need to work on the other ones. But when you started going more deeply, you thought, hey, wait a minute, I do have some unfavorable things to reject. So that is a very good example. You have frozen, so I hope you hear me. Excellent. Okay, Ratnam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
That day I started thinking that, see, surrender is very significant, but you have to do something very significantly. So I was thinking, like, the main important thing is that we need to chant very attentively.
Okay.
So I break it down into two sections, morning 9 round to 1 stretch, and then next, maybe I need to increase some more than 7, the remaining more than 7, maybe another 10, maybe 19 rounds per day. I'd like to increase 3 rounds. And to support that, I thought we need to hear something. I have started downloading all the Srila Prabhupada lectures, and I want to hear one lecture in the morning and maybe from another speaker, maybe in the evening. So I'm going to hear one Srila Prabhupada lecture and one lecture in the evening. So that could give me a significant understanding and strength to our chant and my voice. That's what I thought.
So your focus was on accepting what's favorable, yes?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Okay, very nice plan. Excellent plan. Excellent. All right. This seems to be a particularly engaging mission for many of you. Okay, Madhurya Dameshwari. How did your mission accomplish go?
Hare Krishna Mataji, yesterday I went to temple because past 20 days I didn't go to temple because of my health issue. Yesterday I went and share my feeling to Prabhupada. Always when I go to temple, I'll share my spiritual sharings and my guilty feelings and my offenses. Everything I will share to Prabhupada, that yesterday I shared, and also I shared to Radharani also, because I like to do service in Radharani's kitchen. So Radharani, please allow me and give permission for me to do service in your kitchen.
So which of the items of surrender did you feel you were working on?
Mataji, I like to follow Prabhupada's instruction because he's my grandfather.
But which of the items? Was this accepting what's favorable? Was this having no separate interest? Was this humility? Which one was this?
I don't know, Mataji. But when I read Bhagavatam,
Paramo, no, but I want you to decide. I want you to not know right now. I want you to know. So you decide. Were you No, I'm holding you to this. That's my job as the teacher. So were you was this what you were doing, revealing your mind? Was this accepting what was favorable? Was it seeing Krishna as your maintainer, protector? I don't think so. So it seems maybe it was humility, and maybe it was having no separate interest, and maybe it was accepting what's favorable. Which do you think it was?
Yes, I am under this question. I don't understand.
Okay, the six symptoms of surrender. Your mission was to do something in the six symptoms of surrender. First one is accepting what's favorable. Second is rejecting what's unfavorable. Next is to see Krishna as your maintainer. Next is to see Krishna as your protector. Next is to have no separate interest. And the next is to be meek and humble. So your mission was to take at least one of them. And to
he is my protector, Mataji.
Protector. So so when you were revealing your mind for service, it was in the mood of Krishna being your protector?
Yes, always I think he is my only protector.
Yeah, but when you were opening your heart to the deities in the temple, you were doing that in the mood of Krishna being your protector?
100%, Mataji.
Okay, very nice.
Everything.
Very nice.
Each and everything I'll think of.
No, but I was asking you very specific with this. Thank you. And I'm so glad that you, with your help.
Suhrutam Sarvabhutanam.
Yes.
That word I like very much. Suhrutam Sarvabhutanam.
Yes.
That's loka.
Yes. Yes. Well, that was the song we meditated on yesterday of how much Krishna loves his cows. Yes, and I'm so glad that you, with your health challenges, that you got up and went to the temple. That's a big victory. Yes, Ajah Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I cannot pronounce properly there. So, Mataji, I made some, mostly my focus had been meditating on calm, growth, love. And out of that, calm is lusty desires. Growth is anger, but love is greed. Realize that love is something that never ends. Anger you can stop, there is an end. He's not angry and it's over. You know, and then with lust, it's not as much, it's that lusty items are not available, you can actually subside, but this greed does not go away. So as far as the second item of not accept or rejecting unfavorable things, I'm thinking that, you know, that I need to really work on anger. I have started a little bit after your class 2 days ago of the adjustment to how you think and the body reaction of the body.
Excellent.
I've been playing that technique, and it has been you know, very helpful. Thank
it's
you
an
for
amazing technique.
Giving us that.
Yes.
That tool, very nice tool, Mataji. And then this love her is I'm starting to look for what are the indications and how do I control it? You know, lobha, and then after that you follow jealousy and other things. But at least just one by one, if I could find tools to somehow reject.
Well, the opposite of lobha, of course, is satisfaction. And one way that we achieve satisfaction is through gratitude. So we had, I forget which one, I really have not been functioning at full mental and emotional capacity, and I forget which one of you brought up the satisfaction one. It was the one of you who brought up that you were too busy and you saw that Krishna's computer was perfect, and please excuse me, that my ability for human interchange is particularly been affected by my grandson's death, and my capacity to relate to other humans is crippled in some way right now. It's like I have to do so much care of myself that I just don't have much capacity. So I apologize for that. I don't seem to be able to do anything about it other than just to wait for it to be when it is. But this is just kind of, I'm also waiting for the train to pass, you know, just... But gratitude is a very, very helpful way to conquer greed, because greed is the opposite of gratitude. It's seeing what you lack, isn't it? And what I found is that, and gratitude is one of the 14 items of knowledge. It's one of the qualities of the soul. It's one of the natural qualities of the soul. And I've been keeping a daily gratitude diary, just a simple thing. I write every evening. I have a little app called Presently, and I just fill it out every evening. And because I know I've got to fill it out every evening, I'm looking during the day for what I can be grateful for. But I also have developed the habit of catching myself complaining or wanting something more or wanting something different. And that when I do that, I switch it to gratitude. And what I found, it's as simple as like, oh my God, I got to do laundry again, to wow, I'm so grateful that I have enough clothes that I can be washing some and wearing some at the same time. You know, and you know, I want more money. And well, I'm grateful that I have enough money that I'm not, you know, like homeless out on the street. I'm grateful I have a roof over my head. And that any time these thoughts of greed come, to go to gratitude. I will also say something from our Career Dharma book, is that those who have the varna of being Kshatriyas and Vaishyas have a natural, according to the Bhagavatam, especially the Vaishyas, have a natural thirst. The Bhagavatam says that the Vaishyas are always thirsty. And this doesn't mean for water. It's a metaphorical instruction. And the idea is that those who are in the field of resources, their duty is to provide all the wealth for society. That's their job, that's their service, and that's this is going to be our focus in today's class, is to see our work as a service. And so if your service is to provide all the wealth for society, naturally you always want to expand. It's part of the nature. The Kshatriyas always want to expand the quantity of people that they are protecting, and the Vaishyas always want to expand the quantity of wealth that they are providing to the society, and that is their duty. And if a Kshatriya or a Vaishya tries to give that up, they're actually a dharma. Those who are Shudras and Brahmanas, their dharma is to be very self-satisfied, although the self-satisfaction of the Shudras and of the Brahmanas is of a different quality. But if the Kshatriyas and the Vaishyas are self-satisfied, there will be havoc in society. And so one can learn to see this kind of expansive desire as seva. Just like I'm right now, just finished a section of the Mahabharata about Maharaj Yudhisthira wanting to do the Rajasuya Yajna, where he wanted to expand his protection to the whole planet. So that is another thing that might help you. But I definitely feel you have your mission accomplished.
Yes, thank you, Mataji. Very nice. This is a great way of subsiding this lobe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, so who have we not yet heard from? Sudhid Gaur Prabhu.
Hi, thank you, Shrimati. Am I audible?
Yes. You are very audible.
Though I was not present in the last class, but I heard the recording and I introspected that.
Yeah,
I focus more on filling my belly and focus on taste, what I like, instead of offering that to the Lord with love. So I feel to work on it, and I have even started on it.
I see you sent a chat. Okay, very nice. Okay, Lila Madhuri Lalita. What a beautiful name. So how did you accomplish your mission of surrender yesterday?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Due to some network issue, I'm not able to switch on my video.
No problem.
I took the Krishna is my only protector. Yesterday there was some situation where I was completely disturbed and worried about my future, but I understood that Krishna was protecting all these years. And he is protecting now also, and he will be protecting me if I take his if I take the shelter of his lotus feet. So spoke to my Siksha Guru, got some strength, then continued my service yesterday in the temple where I was cooking and
doing kirtan.
And one more point I would like to add here. Yes, this is one point, Krishna is my protector. And one more thing, I was trying to be humble, because normally whenever I do kirtan and cooking in the temple, I get a lot of appreciation, which will add fire in my pride only. So I was trying to remember you and your words. So I was immediately, I was trying to send all those appreciation to my guru. Because of his mercy only, I was able to do all those things. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Very nice. Hare that Krishna. Was beautiful. Very beautiful. And Pratik. Pratik, are you there? Or are you just a photograph? Goloka Vasini.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Yes.
Mataji, I'm sorry, Mataji, I could not attend Saturday's class. So.
Okay, so you work on that on your own. Shakti Mata, did we ask you already? No, okay. As I said, I seem very functional. I know I look very functional, but I'm actually not very functional. Shakti Manta, if you could please share about what you accomplished on the surrender.
Yes, Mataji, Hare Krishna. I was meditating on how Krishna is our maintainer and protector. And I was thinking that as a householder, we all go through so many situations which are very challenging. And I myself went through a big loss some time ago. And I was grieving for something, and it took me maybe almost 2 years to get over it. And sometimes I was in such a difficult situation that I couldn't even breathe. And I would even question that, Krishna, are you even listening to me? Ever since, last week you told us how we are separate from our thoughts. And, so I've been trying to distance myself from my thoughts and be just an observer of my life. So I thought that since Krishna is maintaining and we are dependent on him, so if he wants, he will provide, or he'll fulfill our desires. And I should not be telling Krishna what he should be doing. I should be one with the Lord's plan. So let him do what he thinks is best. So separating myself from my thoughts and aspirations, I found to be very liberating. And it made even big hardships seem quite trivial. I actually feel very liberated and relieved that I'm different from my thoughts.
Wow, well, we're going to give you a special mission accomplished here. All right, so many of you have really imbibed the teachings of the four Kumaras, and I'm really happy. I'd like us to really meditate as we go through today's verses. How Sanat Kumara is sitting there talking to Maharaj Prithu. So today we have verses 42 to 63. And our mission today is very much related to this, the principles of surrender, especially the one of having no separate interests. Actually, all of them. It's really taking all of the six parts of surrender and epitomizing them into a way of life that Prithu Maharaj is going to be himself personifying. And I'd like us to, we have, of course, the paintings in the Bhagavatam of Maharaj Prithu washing the feet of the Kumaras, and the Kumara, we have so many paintings, we can meditate on the Kumaras and imagine, I want us to imagine that we're there with Maharaj Prithu, with the Kumaras, and we have picked up Maharaj Prithu's mood that I am a servant, that everything I do can be service. Everything I have belongs to my master. And everything I do, therefore, has value and purpose. I'd like us to imagine again, we're sitting there with Maharaj Prithu as this conversation is ending and we're hearing the praise of Maharaj Prithu for the Kumaras and the praise of the Kumaras from Maharaj Prithu. And we're imbibing his mood of service. And we feel that every self-concept, action, and possession that we have is divine. It's full of value. And therefore, we can go through our life and our work without any attachment to honor, dishonor, fame, infamy, happiness, and distress, because everything we are doing is service, and everything we are doing is in the mood of a servant. So that is our mission for today's class. You will have a little less time than normally because we're having a double class tomorrow. All right. So in this section, the first 8 verses, Maharaj Prithu offers all his possessions to the Kumaras, even though everything already belongs to them because they represent the Lord. And the 4 Kumaras are very pleased, and they now appear in the sky. They're about to leave, but as they leave, they praise the king. And then 49 through 63, the Kumaras are explaining how Prithu executed his duties perfectly only to satisfy the absolute truth, always thinking of himself as a servant who possesses, of the Lord who possesses everything, and that he always remained unattached, how he had 5 sons with his wife, and he continued to rule the planet and please the various citizens by his words, mentality, works, and gentle behavior. He had all the qualities of the demigods, and he was celebrated throughout the universe, and everyone here heard his glories. All right, so going to text again, 41 through 48, Prithu Maharaj praises the Kumaras. So text 42. Rajavacha krito me nugraha purvan hari nartanu kampina tam apadai itum brahman bhagavan yuyam agataha. O Brahmana, O power, the king said, O Brahmana, O powerful one, formerly Lord Vishnu showed me his causeless mercy, indicating that you would come to my house, and to confirm that blessing, you have all come. So Prabhupada talks about how the Lord fulfills his promises through the devotees. And Prabhupada talks about how the Lord appears out of compassion. He mentions Krishna's compassion, Buddha's compassion for the animals, Nisingadev's compassion. Text 43. Nispaditas chakarchsneena bhagavad bir grinalubi sadhu chishtam hime sarvam atmana sahakim dade. My dear Brahmana, again, this is Prithu. Imagine we're there with Prithu and he's speaking to Sanat Kumara. My dear Brahmana, you've carried out the order thoroughly. What was the order that Krishna told him to come and enlighten Prithu? Because you are also as compassionate as the Lord. It is my duty, therefore, to offer you something. But all I possess are the remnants of food taken by great saintly persons. What shall I give? So in Prithu Maharaj's sacrifice, he'd already given everything to the Brahmanas. What could he give? So what's very important to understand here is that whenever anybody gives us something, it is our duty to reciprocate. We talked a little bit about how we can conquer greed with gratitude. And this is all something we can practice in our dealings with others. When someone does something nice for us, helpful for us, we need to do something to reciprocate. Yes, I had one of my good friends told me, said, Armila, you know, if you spend a lot of time personally counseling someone, they have to give you something in return, even if it's just a flower to offer to your deities. But make sure that people give something. It's important. It's important for us to give something to someone who helps us, and it's important to train others to do that. I like to really focus on where Krishna says of the different kinds of yajna in the Bhagavad Gita, that sacrifice without remuneration to the priests is in the mode of ignorance. So if, especially if someone does some sort of yajna on our behalf, that doesn't necessarily mean just with a fire. but we should always be giving them something in return. This, when we do something, we should do something freely. But when someone does something for us, we should always reciprocate. And if we're training other people, we also have to train them to reciprocate. This is so important. Otherwise, bhakti can be done in Tamagun, according to Lord Kapiladev. Bhakti can be done in Tamagun, according to Lord Kapiladev. If someone does some yajna on our behalf for us, again, doesn't have to be fire. They can be doing kirtan, they can be preaching the shastra. We should be offering something in return. We should be taking care of them. And in general, we should be grateful. Yes, Ambika, but we'll have to make it fast because our time is short right now.
Yes, I have just a simple question, because then when there's devotees serving on different levels and giving something always to each other, so is there some kind of, I don't know if the word hierarchy is used in this, but who do we give and how much? And
anybody who does something kind for you, reciprocate with them in some way. Doesn't matter who they are.
Yes, thank you.
Anybody.
I like that a lot.
I mean, look, there's a temple cat here. And when I was a child, I had a pet cat, but then Krishna, long story, removed all of my attachment to cats. I know have no interest in them whatsoever. But the cat decided to do something nice for me according to his understanding. And three times he gave me a present of a dead mouse outside my door. You know, so then I'm not really into cats anymore. But then when I saw the cat and the cat rolled over and wanted me to pet him, so I took my foot and I pet the cat. Because the cat did something nice for me according to his understanding. He's just a cat and it was a dead mouse. I don't want a dead mouse. But what will I do with a dead mouse? Three times the cat put a dead mouse by my door. So anyone who does something nice for you, well, you should reciprocate. Anybody. It's not a higher or lower or anything like that. If you are training someone, you need to train someone to reciprocate, which means that sometimes you may ask them to reciprocate with you because you are training them. And if you are in some position of authority, you want to make sure that the people under you learn to reciprocate. I hope that answers your question. Okay, going on to the next one. Pranadara Suta Brahman Grihas Cha Sa Paricha Daha Rajambala Mahikosha Iti Sarvam Niveditam. The king continued, therefore, my dear Brahmana, my life, wife, children, home, furniture, and household paraphernalia, my kingdom, strength, land, and especially my treasury are all offered unto you. So I wish we had the time, but we don't. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada uses hermeneutics in an incredible way. First of all, he talks about the treasury, that he says, if you've given your kingdom, then you've naturally given all the wealth that's associated with your kingdom. Therefore, listing the treasury as a separate item must indicate Prithvi Maharaj's personal paraphernalia. The other thing is the word wife here. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that there's no way that Prithvi Maharaj was offering his wife to the Kumaras. So you might think that if Prabhupada says that, and he says that's an alternate reading of the verse, why didn't he change the verse? He says that some versions of the Bhagavatam say Koshaha instead of Dadaha? Why then, in his own publication of the Bhagavatam, did he not make that change? Instead of making that change, he explains that the verse we have here, although he left it as it is, and he translated it as it is incorrect. There's also a very important message here as far as what we would call posthumous editing, that Srila Prabhupada is setting an example here, that when the author is no longer on the planet, if there's something that is an error, that we leave the work as it is, and we write a comment on it. So this very, very important point in this purport, and unfortunately we simply don't have the time to discuss it. We have some very important things we have to cover, and our time is a little funny today. Okay, yeah. What I think we're going to do, because it's almost the end of the hour, as and this is going to be a whole new section that we're doing with a big activity. So let's take our stretch break now. Get off of your chair. Stand up. Stretch. Stretch up. Turn to the side. Look away from your screen. Move around. Somehow stretch. Yes. Alrighty. Okay. And I want to say I'm so grateful for Mahalakshmi who gave me this thermos, because I really nice to have hot herbal tea when I'm speaking for so long.
I have a question about this verse.
I don't have time. I'm sorry. I just don't. I have an hour and we have a lot to do. So I'm going to have to move on. I apologize. Obviously, each of these verses could be an entire class. So, or two, or three, or four. So going on to text 45. Sainya patyam charajyam cha dandane tritum eva cha sarva loka dipatyam cha veda shastra vidarhati. Since only a person who is completely educated, according to the principles of Vedic knowledge, deserves to be commander-in-chief, ruler of the state, the first to chastise, and the proprietor of the whole planet, Prithu Maharaj offered everything to the Kumaras. And Prabhupada, here in the purport, he says, the king, as the administrator of the state, executed his... I can't take questions right now. I'm so sorry, Adirupa Malati. Prabhupada in the purport said, the king, as the administrator of the state, executed his duties as a servant of the brahmanas. It was not that the kings or brahmanas were dictators, nor did they consider themselves proprietors of the state. The king, president, or head of the state should always remember that he is not the proprietor but the servant. So this is our main mission for this class, is having this mood in our own kingdom. Maybe my kingdom is just my body and my room and my books and my bed and, you know, my Instapot or something. Maybe that's my kingdom. But whatever is my kingdom, actually I'm not the proprietor, I'm a servant. And I really like how Prabhupada talks about the kings here. Also in the purport, he says, unfortunately, there are many so-called philosophers in the present age who give instruction without citing authority, and many leaders follow their unauthorized instruction. Consequently, people are not happy. My dear friends, I see a tendency among certain preachers to talk about things without citing authority. No, one of the austerities of speech is to always recite the Vedic literature. We should always be able to cite authority to back up what we're saying. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada also points out the defects in democracy, communism, and NGOs, non-government organizations, who claim to be helping people. He points out the proper governance is done by those who are saintly persons. Now, I want to point out that it's really interesting that Kshatriyas can be saintly persons. You remember the purport we had earlier, where Srila Prabhupada talked about how Kshatriyas could hunt and eat meat, and how they could gamble and have illicit sex and take intoxication. And we talked about that a little bit at that time. And I said that it would be covered again later, and here is when it's being covered. That the Kshatriyas should actually be Rajarshis. They should be Rajarshis. Yes? That's what is important. And how is that possible? That means even though they may have to hunt, and even though they may have agreed to expand how many people they're protecting in so many ways, actually their mood is always as a servant. My dear friends, the externals of our life do not determine how spiritual we are. You can be living in Vrindavan and just reading Shastra all day, and if you don't have the mood of a servant, you're not spiritual. And you can be in London working on the stock exchange and with the mood of a servant, and you can be completely spiritual. Prabhupada was asked, does a person make more advancement living in the temple? And Prabhupada said, that depends on whether his mind is on another subject matter. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati said some of the people living in Radhakund are actually living in Nadakakund. They're living in hell. So we have this. We want to develop this mood of a servant. We want to develop this mood of a servant. Our mood is everything that I have belongs to the Lord. Now the Shastra, the Vedic Shastras are very broad, and they allow facility for people who are not yet devotees to work in Varna and Ashram for gradual elevation. But what we want to do ourselves, those of us here in this class, we don't want to compromise like that. We want to have this mood that I am a servant and everything I am doing is service. I am a servant and everything I am doing is service. Now we know that Prithu Maharaj giving everything to the four Kumaras, it's not that the four Kumaras took it all. It's not that they took his treasury. It's not that they started managing the kingdom. So I'd like us to go into a breakout room, and I'd like us to discuss several points. Okay, and I'm going to put it in the chat. Otherwise, you'll ask me to repeat it over and over again, and so that way you have it in chat. And we have someone, Nityananda Nataraj. I don't remember that person being in our class. Who is this Nityananda Nataraj?
Mataji, I connected with the other device.
Oh, okay. I have a new person in my class. Okay.
Sorry, Mataji.
You confuse me. All right, so we really have two questions. So generally, we want to hold on to our possessions. And generally, we don't want to give everything away. We don't want to give everything away. We want to hold on to something. You know, I'm happy to give in charity, but I don't want to give everything away. So the main question I want you to discuss in your breakout room is, why did Prithu Maharaj want to give away everything? He wanted to give away even his personal treasury, even the gifts that people had given to him personally. Why? What was motivating him? That's the main thing I want you to discuss. And the second thing, what does that mean? Did he really think that the four Kumaras were going to like come there and say, okay, bye-bye, Prithu. You go live in a hut in the woods. We're going to be running your kingdom and managing your treasury. Is that what he meant? But that's the second thing. The main question I want you to ask is, what inspired Prithu to give everything away? Why was he, you know, okay, the four Kumaras gave him the most valuable instruction and he could give them some kind of guru dakshin, but everything? Why would he give them everything. Okay, so we're going to have 8 minutes to discuss this. Make sure that everyone gets a chance. And if you need a leader in the group, have it be the most junior devotee to be the leader. The most junior devotee in each of your groups should make sure that everybody gets a chance to participate. Okay, 8 minutes.
Mataji, can we ask a question?
Briefly.
Okay. The question here is, Pratha Maharaj is giving the whole kingdom to Kumaras, knowing that the Kumaras are just visiting him, and they're going to go back. So what they can take? Just saying that Krishna, everything is yours. Of course it's all Krishna's.
Yeah, well, that's what we wanted to, that's what I hoped you'd discuss, not only why he wanted to give, but what did it mean that he gave? What does it mean that he gives? It did, you know, so that's exactly what we're going to look at in the next two verses. What did that mean? It's all yours. They're already in the sky. They're already going. You know, they're already on their way. Everything here is for you, and they're going. I mean, they don't even wear clothes. They don't even wear clothes, folks. I mean, come on. Let's take ourselves to this scene, everybody, all right? Let's be there for a minute. You're there with Prithu, right? And the four Kumaras, they're just little boys. They don't even wear clothes. They don't even carry a bag. They're not even like the Buddhist monks that, you know, carry a little bag. What are they going to do with your kingdom? Like, they don't want your jewelry. They don't want your wife's jewelry. So what does this mean? So you talked about in your groups why he had this inspiration. Right? You came to some conclusions about why he was so inspired. I want to give you everything. But what did this mean? And knowing what this means is essential here for our own mission. It's essential for our own mission. Understanding what is our mission for today's class. All right, let's go on and let's see if we get some answers. Do you think we're going to get some answers? I mean, it must be pretty dramatic, you know, you're there. Maybe you're there in the assembly and thinking, why is Prithu Maharaj giving his wife's jewelry to these naked 5-year-old boys? What are they going to do with it? What does this mean?
Can I say something?
You can say something after we go through these next couple verses, yes, if you can just hold it for right now. Okay. I'm sorry, I have to serve all of you, and if I serve all of you, I have to make sure that I go over everything in the time that we have and that I don't have the classes go over. So to keep to the time and to make sure I cover everything, that is my main service for all of you, and sometimes it means I have to say, no, I can't take your question. So sorry about that. Okay, text 46. Swam eva brahmano bhunkte, swam vaste, swam didati cha. Tas yaivan ugrahenanam bunjate kshatriyaraya. The kshatriyas, vaishyas, and sudras eat their food by virtue of the brahmana's mercy. It is the brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity with their own property. Whoa! Prabhupada says here it's like a savings account with money that the depositor can draw out at will. The brahmanas, being engaged in the service of the Lord, have very little time to handle the finances of the world. And therefore the riches are kept by the kshatriyas or the kings, who are to produce money upon the brahmanas' demand. Actually, the brahmanas or vaishnavas do not live at others' costs. They live by spending their own money, although it appears that they are collecting this money from others. Now, one can say that this applies ultimately to the Lord. Everything is owned and controlled by the Lord. When we give something to the Lord, we're giving him his own property. We're just holding it for him and using it for him. And the same with his servants. The Vaishnavas and the Brahmanas, really, they already own everything. And therefore, when we give charity, we're giving them what they already own. Yes? But what is the Lord going to say when we give him charity? Use this in my service. All right. So we can take just a very short time. And if you have some thoughts about how this mentality of Maharaj Prithu can infuse us with a similar mentality. Everything I own belongs to the Lord, to my gurus, to the devotees, and I am doing service as their servant. Any thoughts on this? Questions, thoughts?
Is it a way to detach ourselves from everything that there is? Otherwise we keep thinking, otherwise, what's the meaning of being a servant?
Yes. Yes. And this detachment is liberating, isn't it? Very liberating. Excellent. Goloka Vasini, yes.
Mataji, what can we give? Nothing belongs to, actually. We did not bring anything to this world.
Yes. 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 All right. And this... Yes, Pulaskamani.
Hare Krishna Mataji. I'm just making a quick comment. I remember reading somewhere Srila Prabhupada was comparing the cashier in a bank. He's counting all this money, but nothing belongs to him. So in a way, we're all managers. We all have to manage on behalf of somebody else, and we cannot claim proprietorship to anything that is being given to us in order to use it for our own service. So that's the secret, probably, of serving.
Yes, excellent. And my dear friends, I'm going to teach you now something. This is your mission. That is life-changing. If everything belongs to the Lord, and I am a servant, then every situation I'm in, with every other living being, every object, at all times, is some opportunity for service. And there's no direct, indirect, higher, lower. That's an illusion. It's not that changing your baby's diaper is a lower service than offering a fire yajna. That is not a fact. It's not that brushing your teeth is a lower service than cleaning the temple. If we see that everything belongs to the Lord, and everywhere that means there is opportunity for service, everywhere, at all times, in all places, and I am a servant, and the question that I should be asking myself in all situations is, what service can I do now? Right? We had in our mission accomplished for today this liberation by being in the present, in this moment. In this moment, let me forget the past that sleeps and ne'er the future dream at all, but bear with times that all are with thee in progress, thee shall call, Bhaktivinoda said. In this moment, how can I be a servant and what service can I do? And that's our mission for today's class, is to consciously, intentionally think that way, especially if we feel a moment of confusion. Especially if you're like, why am I doing this work? This is just mundane work. It's just a distraction. Why do I have to do this? Or why do I have to deal with this? Or what about this problem? Everything belongs to Krishna. How can I give this moment to Krishna and Guru, just like Prithu gave everything to his Guru? How can I be in Prithu's mood in this moment, right now, that I am a servant giving everything to the Lord and the Vaishnavas? All right, let's go on. hand. Text 47. Yad idrishi bhagavato gatir atmavada ekantato nigamibhi pratiparitana tusyantvadadbra karuna swakritena nityam ko namatat pratikaroti vinodapatram. Prithvimaharaj continued, how can such persons who have rendered unlimited service by explaining the path of self-realization in relation to the personality of Godhead and whose explanations are given for enlightenment with complete conviction and Vedic evidence be repaid except by folded palms containing water for their satisfaction? Such great personalities can be satisfied only by their own activities which are distributed among human society out of their unlimited mercy. Please pay attention, my dear friends. Such great personalities can be satisfied only by their own activities. Who did Krishna say to, I can't repay you, be satisfied with your own service? To whom did Krishna say this? 1, 2, 3. The gopis! And my dear friends, there's a great secret here to always being happy. The world belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everyone, everything, everything is Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. That means in every situation, with every living being, with every object, there is always some service. I am the servant. And my satisfaction, please listen, my satisfaction is my own service. If we've ever loved anyone, and I hope that each of us has loved someone, maybe our mother, maybe our father, our brother, our sister, our child, maybe it was our dog or our cat, I don't know, our cow. Maybe we've loved someone in our life. And that sense of loving filled us with satisfaction. That feeling of being in love. That feeling that I love someone. That was enough to satisfy us. That's perfection. At every moment there's an opportunity for service. I am always a servant. And my service itself, my loving service itself, is what satisfies me. Then I'm detached from honor, dishonor, fame, infamy, happiness, distress, heat and cold, friends, enemies. Because I'm happy, I'm satisfied. I'm already satisfied. My loving service for Krishna is so expansive and filling me so much that I am satisfied. I don't need some external satisfaction. In this moment, with this person, with this creature, with this object, at this time, with this circumstance, everything is Krishna's, and therefore there is some service opportunity here, and I am a servant. Let me do this with full attention and be satisfied by my own service. Neelamani, you have a question or comment before we go on?
Yes, Mataji. On this area, one thought I had was, Prithvimaharaj was giving up everything because he actually perceives that that's actually not helpful for him. It's like the nectar of devotion verse, Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam. When I give up all of these upadis, right, then I can be free for spiritual pursuits, right?
Mm. So, but is he thinking like Arjuna, let me walk away from my duties?
I mean, that's valid point too. Is he walking away from his duties? But at this stage of his life,
not
he's
now.
Got his children and things to take over the kingdom and so forth, right?
Well,
so,
he's about to do that. He's about to do that, but he hasn't done it yet. So what he's walking away from is thinking, I'm the doer. I am the king. I am the cause of my activities and I am the enjoyer of my activities.
Right.
Explained by Lord Kapila, who I can't remember whether it's text 22 or 26, and I think it's in chapter 28, but I'm not going to look it up right now. Actually, no, I could look it up right now. I could actually look it up quickly right now. I could. And so I can give you accurate information. I told you to quote, so now I have to quote. Yes? Right. Yeah, so, 26. So we have 3:26:28. Yes. No, 26. 3:26:26 are the Karitvam, Karanatvam, and Karyatvam. I am the king. I am the cause of my activities. I am the enjoyer of my activities. And those are their freedom side is in 3:26:22, which is Savachcham. I am a servant. Clarity. Avikaritvam. Freedom from distraction. Being in the present. No lamentation. No hankering. Focusing on the truth. Instead of thinking I'm the cause. And instead of possessiveness, shantatvam, peacefulness and serenity. This is the satisfaction, the gratefulness, and ultimately the satisfaction from within. Gratefulness is sattvagun, but ultimately the satisfaction from within, being satisfied by my service. And I'm not going to go into this in depth, so don't ask me to, please. All right. Going on to 48. Maitreya Uvacha Tad Atma Yoga Pataya Adi Rajana Pujitaha Shilanam Tariyam Shamsanta Ke Bhavan Mishitam Nirnam. The great sage Maitreya continued, being thus worshipped by Maharaj Prithu, the four Kumaras, who were masters of devotional service, became very pleased. Indeed, they appeared in the sky and praised the character of the king, and everyone observed them. All right, we are about to go through, we're going to finish this chapter now, and as we do this, the Kumaras are going to be praising the king. So it's not just that the king praises them and they said, yes, yes, thank you very much for your praise. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you for your charity. Thank you for your praise. Yes, 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 yes. But they give it back. Right? They're the gurus, but they're going to praise their disciple. They're going to give it back. So they're going to list a lot of qualities of Maharaj Prithu. So as we go through this list, you should have something to write on and something to write with. Maybe you'll have a paper and a pen. And maybe you will be writing on another part of your computer or your phone, but everyone get something to write on and something to write with. Make sure you are ready as we go through this. Yes? Everybody ready? All right. As we're going through these next verses, I want you to note down any qualities. Don't note down all of them, my dear friends. Note down five, pick five, that you really admire, that you're like, whoa, that's a really cool quality. I'd like to meet somebody with that quality. I'd like to have that quality. Yeah. All right. So that's what I want you to do. Five, just five. Something to write on. Something to write with. Ta-da! Or your phone, maybe. And as we go through, five that you really like, whoa, these are so cool. Okay. We're not going to be stopping. Yeah. Actually, we're going to have one stop.
Okay. We have to write the two malas quality.
Five. Pick five. Don't write all of them. Only five.
Hare Krishna, I'll learn five from this particular text.
No, as we're going through. We're just about to start. I want you to be prepared. Now we're starting. Starting now. Ta-da! As we go through these. Okay. All right, let's see what his qualities are and pick five that you're like, yes, that's what I like. Vanyas Tuduriya Mahatam Stamsi Jyadyatma Shikshaya Aptikamam Ivatmanam Mena Atman Yavastita. Amongst great personalities, Preacher Maharaj was the chief by virtue of his fixed position in relation to spiritual enlightenment. He remains satisfied as one who has achieved all success in spiritual understanding. Alright, so what are the qualities here? Chief amongst great personalities, satisfied by the teachings about Atma. We have this, alright, Aptikama, very important quality. One who can fulfill his own desires. Karmani cha yata kalam, yata desham yata balam, yato chicham yata vittam, Akarod Brahma Satkritam. Being self-satisfied, Maharaj Prithu executed his duties as perfectly as possible, according to the time and situation, strength and financial position. His only aim in all his activities was to satisfy the Absolute Truth. In this way, he duly acted. So besides his sadhana, his duties in the world, he always knew how to do his duties perfectly according to the time, to the place, according to how much strength he had, according to how much money he had. And his aim was to satisfy the Absolute Truth. He didn't have any other aim. His aim was to satisfy Krishna. So he was expert. Okay, so a few things I'd like to read from this purport. Rupa Goswami has advised that things which are favorable to devotional service should not be rejected, nor should activity favorable for devotional service be considered ordinary work. For example, an ordinary worker conducts business in order to earn money for his sense gratification. A devotee may perform the same work in exactly the same way, but his aim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Consequently, his activities are not ordinary. Kshatriya may be appearing to be greedy, militaristic, but he's not if he's a Rajarshi. A Vaishya may appear to be materialistic and interested in wealth, but not if he's a Vaishnava. A Shudra may be considered to be just interested in simple craft and artistry, and not that sophisticated, but not if he's a Vaishnava. And a Brahmana may seem to be proud and detached in a negative way, uninterested, uncaring, but not if he's a Vaishnava. Krishna says every action is covered by some fault. We can see some fault in any work in this world. But if it's done for Krishna, it may look like ordinary work, but it's not. Prithu Maharaj's activities were therefore not ordinary, but were all spiritual and transcendental. Prabhupada talks about Arjuna. So sometimes the great devotees engage in ordinary works. Why? what are the reasons to teach people in general, because people have to know how to do good work. To avoid lapses in following the rule of Varnashram. To avoid criticisms of the path of bhakti, so people won't say that bhakti followers are irresponsible. To protect the confidentiality of pure bhakti. But they're not contaminated by their work. Very important purport. I suggest if you haven't already studied it in preparation for this class, that you study it later on your own for text 50. Very important purport. Okay, 51. Palam Brahmani Sannyasa. I can't take questions right now, sorry. Nirvishanga Samahita Karma Dyaksham Chamanvana Atmanam Prakrite Param. Maharaj Prithu completely dedicated himself to be an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transcendental to material nature. Consequently, all the fruits of his activities were dedicated to the Lord, and he always thought of himself as the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of everything. So some very important things Prabhupada says here in the purport. He says, these activities of Karma Yoga and Bhakti Yoga are being broadcast all over the world by the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Anyone can learn these methods simply by following the examples of the members of society. In one's home or in a temple, the deity is considered the proprietor of everything, and everyone is considered the deity's eternal servant. Simple, 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 simple. My home belongs to the deity. Very simple. Let's go on to text 52. Now, before we do 52, let's just look again at 51. So here we have, look at this. Palam Brahmani Sannyasya. All right? The Kumaras are saying he's a sannyasi. Now let's look at 52. Now they say he's a grihasta. They say griheshu. Vartmanopi. Sa samrajya shriyanvita nasa jatendriyarteshu niraham matir arkavat. Maharaj Prithu, who was very opulent due to the prosperity of his entire empire, remained at home as a householder. Since he was never inclined to utilize his opulences for the gratification of his senses, he remained unattached, exactly like the sun, which is unaffected in all circumstances. So we have here a contradiction. This is pretty weird. Right? Put in the chat. In verse 51, Palam Brahmani Sannyasa, verse 52, Graheshu Vartmanano. How is he both? And of course, this is the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita. Sannyas means that you work for the sake of Krishna. You're not trying to work to enjoy your fruits. And Prabhupada says in the purport to this verse, since a pure devotee knows how to utilize everything for the Lord's service, he is never affected by material activities. Instead, by his transcendental plans, he purifies such activities. Look at that. Not only not being affected, that we're not contaminated by making a lot of money, by ruling, by fixing plumbing. We purify it. We purify our occupation. We purify our work. Whatever it is. That is sannyas, not he who lights no fire and performs no work. Text 53. Evam adhyatma yogena karman yanu samacharam putram utpadayam asha pancharis yatma sammatan. Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, but also begot five sons by his wife Archie. Indeed, all of his sons were begotten according to his own desire. And Prabhupada writes a lot there about the Garbhadan Samskar. that in former ages, people had subtle abilities of eugenics. They were very careful who married whom, and they were able to manipulate through mantra and ritual so that they could custom design their children, so to speak. Another one of his qualities, that he could beget children according to his own desire. Vijitas vam dumrakesham haryaksham dravinam vrikam sarvesham lokapalanam darar aika pratur gunan. After begetting five sons named Vivichasva, Dumrakesha, Haryaksha, Dravina, and Vriksha, Prithvimaraj continued to rule the planet. He accepted all the qualities of the deities who governed all other planets. So here Prabhupada talks about the moon excursion, which we will not discuss, but Prabhupada does talk about here about going to the moon. Okay, 55. Gopitaya jagat shriste kale sve sve chutatmaka mano vagvritibir somyar gunai samranjayam prajaha. Since Maharaj Prithu was a perfect devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he wanted to protect the Lord's creation by pleasing the various citizens according to their various desires. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj used to please them in all respects by his words, mentality, works, and gentle behavior. Isn't that beautiful? Prabhupada writes in the purport, although the material world is condemned when compared to the spiritual world, there is still some purpose behind it. And he writes a little later in the purport, a devotee, however, can understand the purpose of creation, which is to give facilities to the individual living entities who want to lord it over material nature. The ruler of this planet should therefore know that all the inhabitants, especially human beings, have come to this material world for sense enjoyment. It is therefore the duty of the ruler to satisfy them in their sense enjoyment as well as to elevate them to Krishna consciousness so that they can all ultimately return home back to Godhead. That is an important instruction also for parents, for teachers, for employers. All right, let's go through Maharaj Prithu's qualities in comparison with the demigods, and I hope you are looking for those five. Text 56, the five that you particularly like. Rajetya dan namadeyam soma raja iva paraha suryavad vishrujam grinnan pratipams cha bhuvo vasu. Maharaj Prithu became as celebrated a king as Somaraj, the king of the moon. He was also powerful and exacting like the sun god, who distributes heat and light and at the same time exacts all the planetary waters. So he was pleasing like the moon, celebrated like the moon, powerful like the sun, exacting like the sun. Going on with his qualities. Durdarshas tejas sevagnir mahendra eva durjaya tajikshaya daritritva jair eva bistadu nirnam. Maharaj Prithu was as strong, was so strong and powerful that no one could disobey his orders any more than one could conquer fire itself. Woo! He was so strong that he was compared to Indra, the king of heaven, whose power is insuperable. That means there's nothing more super. Insuperable. Insuperable. You can't be more super. On the other hand, Maharaj Prithu was also as tolerant as the earth. So he wasn't a despot. He wasn't a dictator. He wasn't cruel. And in fulfilling various desires of human society, he was like heaven itself. So what are his qualities here? Like fire, he's unconquerable. No one can disobey him. Like Indra, he's insuperable. Nobody can be more super. Like the earth, he's tolerant. Like heaven, he fulfills various desires. Varsati sma yata kamam parjanyan eva tarpayam somudra eva durbodha satven nachala rad eva. Just as rainfall satisfies everyone's desires, Maharaj Prithu used to satisfy everyone. He was like the sea in that no one could understand his depths, and he was like Meru, the king of hills, in the fixity of his purpose. So what's his qualities here? Like rainfall, satisfies everyone. Like the sea, unfathomable. You can't figure out what he's doing and why. Like Meru, always fixed in his determination. 59. Dharmarad eva shikshayam ascharye himavam eva kuvera eva kosh adyo gup tarto varunayata. Maharaj Prithu's intelligence and education were exactly like that of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. His opulence was comparable to the Himalaya mountains, where all valuable jewels and metals are stocked. He possessed great riches like Kuvera, the treasurer of the heavenly planets, and no one could reveal his secrets, for they were like the demigod Varunas. I like what Prabhupada says in the purport, that Varuna is omniscient, and since he punishes sins, he's prayed to for forgiveness. If we have something we need to be forgiven for, we can talk to Varuna about it. Okay, more qualities. Like Yamaraj, he has intelligence in delivering exact punishment. That'd be nice to have in a government. Like the Himalayas, he had great opulence. Like Kuvera, he was very rich. Like Varuna, nobody could reveal his secrets. Okay. Text 60. Matar ish veva sarvatma balena mahasojasa avisa yataya devo bhagavan bhutarad eva. In his bodily strength and in the strength of his senses, Maharaj Prithu was as strong as the wind, which can go anywhere and everywhere. As far as his intolerance was concerned, so we heard about how he was tolerant of, as the earth, but now as far as his intolerance was concerned, he was just like the all-powerful Rudra expansion of Lord Shiva or Sadashiva. So here, like the wind, he had bodily strength and sensual strength, and like Rudra, he had also intolerance towards the miscreants, the criminals, right? Okay, text 61. Kandarpa eva sundarye manasvi mirgarad eva vatsalye manuvam nirnam prabhutve bhagavan aja. In his bodily beauty, he was just like Cupid. And in his thoughtfulness, he was just like a lion. In his affection, he was just like Swayambhuva Manu. And in his ability to control, he was like Lord Brahma. So what do we have here? Like Cupid, he was very beautiful. Like a lion, he was very fearless and thoughtful. Like Manu, he was very affectionate. Manu is everyone's father in the universe, very affectionate. Like Brahma, he's very powerful. I see people are writing things in the chat, but I am not going to look at them right now. Text 62. Brahaspatir Brahma Vade Atmavate Swayam Hari Bhakya Go Guru Vipreshu Vishvakshen Anuvartishu Ridya Prasraya Shilabhyam Atmatulya Parojame. In his personal behavior, Prithu Maharaj exhibited all good qualities, and in spiritual knowledge, he was exactly like Brahaspati. In self-control, he was like the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. As far as his devotional service was concerned, he was a great follower of devotees who were attached to cow protection and the rendering of all service to the spiritual master and the brahmanas. He was perfect in his shyness and in his gentle behavior. and when he engaged in some philanthropic activity, he worked as if he was working for his personal self. Wow. So what are we looking at here? Right? Spiritual knowledge. Yes, like Brahaspati, knowledge of Brahman, like the Lord, control of his senses, like himself, the qualities compared to himself, devotion to cows, devotion to elders, devotion to brahmanas, devotion to devotees. He helped others with bashfulness, humility, and cheerfulness. Right? The verse says when he engaged in some philanthropic activity, he worked as if he was working for his own personal self. Prabhupada says in the purport, his philanthropic activities were not for the sake of show, but were performed out of personal feeling and commitment. All philanthropic activities should be thus performed. Prabhupada talks about defeating the impersonalists and the Mayavadis. And he also says that he was an ideal brahmachari and grihastha simultaneously. All right, the last verse here in this chapter. We finished the list of qualities, which we'll discuss in a moment, but just to finish up the chapter. Kirchyor dva gitaya pumbis trilokye tatratatraha pravishta karnarandreshu strinam rama satam iva. Throughout the whole universe, the higher, lower, and middle planetary systems, Prithu Maharaj's reputation was loudly declared, and all ladies and saintly persons heard his glories, which were as sweet as the glories of Ramachandra. So all the saintly persons, which were men and then women who weren't even saintly, they were very happy. As Prabhupada says, it's a practice among ladies to hear and enjoy the pastimes of heroes. And all the ladies in the universe were enjoying hearing about him. All right. So what I want you to do now is everybody, we only have like 4 minutes. I want you to write in the chat your five qualities and why. A little, so five sentences. The quality and why you like that one. The quality, why you like that one. The quality, why you like that one. Quality, why you like that one. For your five choices. Okay. Very nice, Mahalakshmi. Advaita Krishna. Wow, nice. I like that. Thank you. Stuti Priyarada. Excellent. Excellent. Please put the other four in as well. Wow, Pulastamuni, I'm really impressed with this. This is, woohoo! Wow. Better than first class. Really like what you wrote there. We should try to do this quickly. We're already 2 minutes over our time. Well, oh, because Pulastas was written. You wrote it to me as a direct message. Oh, that's what happened. Okay, Pulastamuni, I'm going to send this to everybody. Oh, right. Okay. This was from Pulastamuni. So nice. We should definitely share that with everyone. Oh, very nice, Tuti Priya Radha. Okay, Ratnam, but it's nice if you can have each one, at least on your own, after the class, if you can do that, that would be good. I mean, I like your point. I think your point's very important, but it'd be nice for your own learning if you kind of untangle it a little bit, okay? All right, Lila Madhurli Lalita. Yeah, there we go. Whoa, I like that, helping preaching, yes. All right. Ooh, yeah, okay, want to be determined, very nice. Mahalakshmi, that you have to discuss with Shakti Sarupini. Those are settings that the Zoom host has to have or not have. So you have to discuss that with her. Okay, I'm waiting for the rest of you. I'm only going to wait another minute. And after this, if you haven't put it here, you'll need to do it on your own. Make sure you do this if you haven't done it here in the class.
Ataji, almost everyone has done.
Almost everyone has done. Okay, anyone who hasn't yet put in the chat, you please do it on your own before you do anything else. So when we close this meeting, before you go do anything else, write this down. All right, and our mission again is that we are want to have this mood of Maharaj Prithu. So I'm going to be meeting with you all again in 10 hours. 10 hours, I'm meeting with all of you again in 10 hours, and not Mahalakshmi. You'll have to listen to the recording. That's an order. So that's an order, Mahalakshmi. I don't want you coming to our class at 1 in the morning. So in 10, how do you think I feel that I've got to travel on Nityananda Trayodasi? You know, like these things happen. So what I want you to do in time for the next class is find some situation where it would really help you in this mood. Maybe you can catch yourself already thinking like that. Wow, you catch yourself, I'm in the present moment, feeling that I'm a servant and that everything I do is service and that I'm satisfied with my service. Or if you catch yourself being the opposite, switch it. Wait a minute. Why am I seeing everything like this? What's my opportunity for service in this moment? How can I be a servant in this moment? How can I be satisfied with my service in this moment? So this is our mission. How can I find this situation in this moment as service? How can I act as a servant in this moment? And how can I be satisfied with my service in this moment? So either catch yourself already doing that, or if you catch yourself being dissatisfied and unhappy and agitated and irritated, switch it. All right, and I see Rangadevi Sevani has put something here. Whoa, I like this. I like this. Very nice. Thank you all for being my teachers. And anything good that you have heard from me is from Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. Anything bad is mine. Please take the good and ignore the bad. And please pray that I can give a decent class at what will be 7:30 to 9:30 at night my time. I will see you again, Krishna willing, in 10 hours. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Ki Jai.